Okay. Just to pick up on what Benji was saying, the when it comes to the law in general, there are two categories. There's legal and illegal, right? In the event that something is legal, it might not be something that people consider moral. They might not consider it nice. But if it's legal, it's legal. And if it's not, it's not. That's what it comes down to. We see this all the time. We see a lot of people who are making good money off of loopholes in the tax code, right? Really, the tax code wanted to do something, but because the way it was worded, you can figure out a way around it. Give you an example. There's something called the backdoor IRA. Anyone familiar with backdoor IRAs? The type of loophole that helps even small people like me. So the general rule is that in order for a person to have a tax-deductible IRA or a later deductible Roth IRA, you have to have a maximum amount of a certain income. And if you have, for example, a 401k in the office or a 403b, that is lower still. Very few people can manage to make so little money and at the same time have one. However, there's this trick known as the backdoor IRA, meaning that even though if a person makes too much money, they cannot open a regular IRA, a deductible IRA, meaning, or a Roth IRA, even if you're making millions of dollars of years, you can do the following move. You can take your money and put it into a non-deductible IRA, which doesn't give you a tax deduction now, and it doesn't allow you to get a deduction later. It just pushes off the time until you're going to have to pay the taxes. However, under the current law, you can convert that. It all comes down to Gairis. You can convert that IRA into a Roth IRA at no cost. Meaning that allows anybody, no matter how much money you make, to put money into a Roth IRA, despite the fact that the law says specifically that you're not allowed to do that. By doing these two steps, that all of a sudden opens up the door of the Roth IRA to anybody. Is there anything wrong with doing that? Clearly, when the Congress passed the tax code, they didn't want anybody to do that. Right? They didn't put up a maximum amount of income that a person could have to do a Roth IRA, only to have everyone be able to do it through a two-step method if you speak to someone who knows how to do it. Is there anything wrong with that legally?
No.
Is there anything wrong with that ethically?
Yeah. It sounds like there's something
wrong with it ethically.
Go on.
Why? To quote a great man, why?
Because if they wanted it to be set up, if anyone could...
Are they some higher authority that really determines what's ethical and what's not ethical? Since when was the IRA ethical? The IRS?
Yes. Either of them.
The Internal Revenue Service was never so ethical.
Yeah.
So are you deferring taxes?
No, what you're doing is you're going to get a certain amount of money into your into an IRA that you'll never pay taxes on it. Because a Roth IRA, you're going to pay up front, but you're not going to pay down the road.
When you take it out.
Right. So therefore, all the 50 years of accrued interest you're going to have, right, will in fact not have to, you'll never have to pay taxes on it. And also being that it's a Roth IRA, just as an added bonus. Right, but not only that, but there's never even minimum distributions on that. Even after you're 70 and a half, you don't have to take minimum distributions. It could sit from a Roth. It could sit forever.
Really?
If you manage to live forever.
So why don't we all do that tomorrow?
Okay, we're having Eidos trip. Shlomo will be sending out an email. we're all going down to the Fidelity on University and Stowe.
Yeah,
we're going to open up. Right. So the question is, this is, again, you can't get arrested for this, right? It's not illegal. It is 100% within the code. It is 100% also not what they had in mind.
Well, that's their problem, if they didn't write the law properly.
Right. So again, let's quote another great person. Too bad, right? There is no higher authority. There's no ethical authority. Assuming you're following the laws, you're following the laws. If they wrote it in a silly way, or they left gaping holes. So if they want to, they can close the holes going forward. And if they don't want to, they don't close the holes going forward. But the bottom line is to say that there's an ethical problem. No. When it comes to the law, legal is ethical. That's pretty much the long and short of it. right? If you're not going to, if they're not going to put you in jail for it, they're not going to fine you for it. I mean, if they fine you, that's a question whether that would make it unethical. And maybe you can just do it and pay the fine if that works for you. But if again, this is not a violation of the law. There's nothing wrong with it. Yes.
I can't believe I'm going to ask for financial info from you. But if I have an IRA, I can transfer that now into a Roth.
Yes.
Cool. Let's do that.
You're going to pay taxes when you do that, of course.
Why am I paying taxes then?
Because you get out of your IRA.
Yeah, we're trying to say.
No, because
you already took, you already got a tax write off for it.
When I opened the IRA.
Right. Now,
when you take it out of the IRA, you'll pay tax.
Right. So that's that an example of a case where you have something that convey when it comes to, even though it's clearly not what the government had in mind, the government here has left a loophole. It's exactly what it is, and you can drive a truck through it. Basically, you can every single year put in the maximum amount to your Roth IRA, and you get all the benefits despite the fact that you do not meet the income requirements at all. You can totally miss the income requirements. You can be making way too much money, but you can still get it in. And again, if you come to me and said, Rabbi, as an Orthodox Jew, as someone who's observant, should I do that or not? I'd say, have a good time. Good, do it. Why not? There's no mitzvah to pay extra taxes.
You can only do this at the beginning. You know, when you open this IRA.
Right. Again, this isn't your personal finance class right now.
No, I was going to use it that way.
Okay, good.
As long as you were giving the advice.
So the question is, does the same remain true regarding Jewish law? Right? When it comes to halacha, that's what I want to focus on today. Is it just the letter of the law, or is there also the spirit of the law? Right?
Well, does the IRS have a law that says you have to follow the spirit of the law?
So yeah, when it comes to, I have argued already. Right, when it comes to the IRS, no.
But the Jewish law says there's also a spirit.
So that's the question, where does it say that? In the event that Jewish law...
Be nice to widows, be nice to gerim.
Why is that the spirit?
Don't take advantage.
Why isn't that the law?
Because the law doesn't say that you have to sustain them and house them and feed them.
It doesn't.
And let them come across the border illegally.
We've now covered the business section and the politics section of the newspaper. Sports will be next. Stay tuned.
I think that's exactly what Halacha says, that you have to take care of the widow and the orphan.
That's what I said. Yeah.
Right, but the idea is that the question is that wouldn't be the spirit of the law. That would be the law. Right. I mean, the question we're saying, again, if you want to focus on charity, there's an obligation to give charity. The question is, if I don't give charity, can I go to jail for that? Can I be fined for it?
No.
Right? Again,
it's not a law not to give charity.
Pitalase.
It's shevel tase.
What does that mean?
But it's like not putting on tefillin?
Not exactly, I don't think.
Why not?
Why don't you think?
Let me put it this way. There's no shear on the tzedakah.
Yeah.
One penny in the pushka here and there yotze.
Is that true? I thought there's a minimum of a shlish shekel per year.
It's probably is a shlish shekel.
Right, that's nothing. So that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk a little bit today about the ideas of the connection between the ability to prosecute in halacha and whether you can do it or not. Basically, anything that cannot be prosecuted in secular law is not a law, right? You're not going to put out laws that have no punishments. If the law has, if there's no disincentive for you to do it, you're wasting your ink, right? If the government put out a thing and said, we'd really like you to do X, Y, and Z, but if you didn't, you know, we're not going to fine you, or we're not going to, that's a waste of ink. Right?
So for a while, the airlines, I don't know if you saw this, they were having these flights. In theory, you could have a last stop point. You'd get off the point before that.
Yeah, I don't think that's the government.
Right, but...
That's private industry.
That's private industry.
Technically, you could get sued for that, right? Or fined for that? Or
no. Why?
What happens when you get off the stop point?
So, example, let's say I book a ticket, Denver, Tel Aviv, Denver, and my stopovers in Salt Lake, or my last point is in Salt Lake, the ticket becomes cheaper. So people book through Salt Lake and they just get off in Denver.
Right.
So again, so for example, so like you'll...
Skokie Rockford special.
Never heard of it. So when it comes to the law, obviously anything that doesn't have any teeth to it isn't a law. We'll start today with five cases in the Chumash. There are five times in the Chumash, twice in Parshas Kedoshim and three more times in Parshas Bahar, where the words "V'yareisa me'lokecha" and "you should fear your God" comes in. Those are the only five times that it's mentioned. Right? We list them here. It's a kangaroo straight. 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9 are all those psukim. The other kangaroo straight, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 will be the Rashi's on them. The first one is Lo sekal lecheirish lifnei iver lo sitei michshav yesh malkecha ani Hashem. That you should not curse a deaf person and you should not put a stumbling block in front of a blind person and you should fear the Lord your God. What is that talking about? So, yes, you should not put, if you see a blind person, you should not put a stumbling block in front of them. But that's not really what it means. What it means is,
You don't take advantage of them or cheat them.
If somebody is blind, if someone doesn't know something, you can't give them. You shouldn't give them bad advice.
Right.
I shouldn't say, you know, Patty, you seem to know nothing about finance. Why don't you go change your IRA to a Roth IRA and see what happens tomorrow? I don't know, just throw out a hypothetical case like that. Knowing that you'll get hit with a tax penalty that'll leave your head spinning, right? But now, assuming this appeared in secular law, could I ever prosecute a person for violating lifnei iver lo sitei michshol? Right. So, meaning that I go and I went to Patty, I gave her bad advice.
Well, if you have fiduciary responsibility to give her good advice. Yes.
Let's say there are people out there who will assume the rabbi is not obligated as a fiduciary for her financial well-being.
Then there is no penalty for you.
Right. But but the problem isn't the matter of that they're not going to put me on the hook for it. You could never win the case against me. Because ultimately, it's a thought crime. Because if you come to me and you say, why did you give her bad advice? I could always say, I thought it was good advice. I thought it was great advice. No, I guess I was wrong. Right? Because intention is the key part of the violation here. Right, meaning that if I don't have bad intentions, right, there's nothing wrong with giving advice that doesn't work out. What's wrong is me knowingly giving advice that I know that is bad.
Or charging for giving bad advice.
No, okay, that's a different. That's a difference. If a fiduciary, I'm talking about this. When we're talking about lifting iver, there's no fiduciary with duty involved, right? So therefore, you can never have a law like this because you can never prosecute because you can never win the case because it's a thought farm and you can't climb into my mind.
Didn't Sharon try to steal?
Never. So
tried to kill your dog.
Yossi Sharon. Therefore Rashi points out that since this is a case where we're never gonna get you on it, therefore it says, fear your God. Yeah, you're gonna get away with this.
Nah.
Not really.
But realize that the game's not over here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of examples, but I think there are examples where putting a stumbling block before the blind is not just an intention crime, that there are actual... Look, if you think about the actual, what it's saying, that's not an... If I take a block...
Right, so we said from the beginning...
There are examples of analogies to that are like that, and then you would have precedent law... To go on.
So but again, you still cannot get the person on the bad advice. You'll never get the person on the bad
advice.
But part of it is that, right? But yes, and since part of it is that part in secular court would be a waste of our breath.
Does the outcome have anything to do with it? Meaning if you benefit, something happens, or if you don't benefit, nothing happens?
So you're saying, I think you're kind of pushing to saying that if I tell you, it would be really, really good, right? This is a classic pump and dump, what they call. Okay, if you're familiar with pump and dumps, mm-hmm. either of those.
I could guess.
What? A pump and dump is as follows: I go and I buy up a penny stock, I buy up lots of it, and then I pump it up. I start telling people about how great it is, that this is it. They're going to cure cancer, and they're going to walk on the moon, and they're going to make the Cleveland Browns a viable franchise. This is the most amazing thing ever, right? And then it goes up to whatever amount, and then I dump my shares, right? I am giving you bad advice, and then I am benefiting by it.
There have been a lot of people, Mattel Toys and the Rothschilds
right.
did that. The Rothschilds mm-hmm. did
so,
that.
So that RCA. Case, right, one could argue the fact that the person's on the other end of the transaction makes it highly suspect. But on the other end, you could say, no, I really thought it was a winner. But then when it reached that point, you know, I decided it was time for me to cash out. And they should have cashed out also then. They could have made good money. When I put out a penny, right, they also put out a penny, 2 cents. Now it's 7 cents. They could have made three times their money.
They got greedy. They wanted to
right. They got greedy. It's their fault always. Yeah.
There's kind of two things that jump out at me. One is it seems to me it's not the person giving the advice's fault that the other person could be a moron. And that...
Okay.
I mean, it seems like he's not responsible for it.
Seems, no, again, the idea is that I can't.
That I'm really stupid, you can't take advantage of that fact.
Right, you can't take advantage of the fact that Shlomo's stupid. just to quote what he said. just let him be.
Does it go as far as Aristotle?
What?
Like, I'm the greatest expert at something in the world. And I hear you talk, and I know you're. I have no idea what you're talking about.
But you are driving down the wrong road here. Do you have to set him straight?
Right.
Yeah, your question? So again, obviously it's not putting a stumbling block.
No, I mean from fear. I'm not talking about legally. I'm talking about...
So again, we're saying right now, this is just saying is I can't purposely give you bad advice. And we add the words, fear your God, because we know we're not going to be able to prosecute this. Right?
Does fear your God go with the omission?
Not, according to this, no. Next case, again, same idea, right? You're supposed to stand up in front of an old person. Rashi says, you know what that means? It could be I get on the bus. I'm sitting on the bus, and an old person gets on, and I can make like I don't notice the guy, right? I didn't notice. How is so? Again, in order for us to nail you for this, we're going to have to prove that you saw the guy. We can't do that. Therefore, v'yaseh lekecha, you think you're going to get away with it? God knows that you saw the guy. Right? And yeah, you're not going to be punished in this world, but you'll get yours.
Isn't that the same as any mitzvah that you completely forget about? Like you wake up and you forget to do Shema. You just forgot about it.
Right.
Then you realize that it's too late.
No, that's different because this is a case where I did see the guy. I did see the guy, but I turned my eyes the other way. Right. There are five cases which we have listed here, and in each case it says v'yarisa melekecha, and in each case Rashi points out that's what's going on here. Right. Just skip to the last one, number 9. Losir dodo farech. When you have somebody who's an Eved Ivri, a Jew or slave, you cannot give them busy work. Some later they may will discuss whether you can give your workers busy work. But you're not allowed to give busy work to a slave. Right? You can't tell them, oh, go make a fire for me. I'll have the guy rub the sticks together, etc. When you don't need it, you just want to see the guy work.
Or move this pile of rocks from here to
right.
Or move the branches away.
Right.
Yeah.
So what's the story with that? So again, in order to convict me on this, you've got to prove that I never needed it. But I could say, yeah, you know, I was going to cook something. I changed my mind. You know, really, I was going to put something in this. I needed these rocks. I changed my mind. You're going to have to prove that I knew from the first moment that this was a waste of time, right? Very hard, if not impossible, to prove. Therefore, in these cases, v'yareisa melekecha. what does this all stand for? This all stands for when it comes to halacha, it's not a matter of whether we're going to convict or not. Because if only it was a matter of whether you could convict or not, these would have never made the book. Because you can never convict on these things. But the Torah is saying that there is something, even if you're going to get away with murder, you're not allowed to do it. Correct. But that means as follows. The first point we're making is that whether you're going to be punished or not isn't the be-all and end-all. Mm-hmm. And the proof being that we put in rules where we know you're not going to get punished.
But you are.
But again, in this world, you're not. In this world, you're not.
Maybe there's a thought behind the fact that it's in here with these specific instances, because Hashem's watching these instances. He's telling you that these are, I'm watching these, because no one else can prove it.
And you think he takes the day off for the other ones?
No, but I mean, here, these are things that we can dismiss. There's no
right, no, that's exactly the point that I agree with. His point is that, you know, that even if there's no way we are ever going to convict, right, we're still putting this down and you are obligated to follow this. That's point number one. So point number one is, unlike secular law, which if they can convict, there's no reason not to do it, right? In this case, it's the old question, right? It's 2 a.m, you're in Yuma, Colorado, no one's on the street, and there's a red light. You can see, as far as the eye can see, there's no car coming for the next 3 hours. Is there any reason to wait at the light?
No.
Yes.
No.
No.
There's no place to hide.
I would stop and look, and if no cars are coming, I'd go.
Gremlin would be on his way. The Chevy Nova would shoot right through.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Right. So Shlomo, you're holding the minority. What?
Shlomo would be the first one to. Have you ever seen how fast he drives?
I think we might be getting off of the topic a little bit. I don't know if that's exactly
the point. So, if it's there, you have to abide by it.
No, the idea being, again, if in the event that there's no harm done and no way I'm getting caught for it.
So what?
If there's no harm done.
Show of hands, how many people say that they would stop at the light?
I would stop, but I'd go then.
That's called going.
Oh, okay.
Yes. How many people would run the light?
It's not an ethical.
Stop.
It's not an ethical
issue. Get out and run.
It's not an ethical issue.
I don't think it's an ethical issue.
It's a law issue.
So let me tell you a story.
I learned my lesson in real life on a situation.
This becomes an opportunity for confession.
You didn't notice the camera was there.
You can know if anybody's around.
It wasn't exactly that story, but it came off the highway one time. Mm-hmm. It was like 5 a.m. I didn't see anybody for miles. I didn't even know I was going fast. I've been going 80 on the highway, and came in this little town in Colorado somewhere, and next thing I know,
that's like Grandma Twersky.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Stopped him from going to a red light. He said, "What's the matter? Didn't you see the red light?" He said, "I saw the red light. I didn't see you."
An Ish MS.
He let him go because he was an honest man. He says, next time you see the light and you see me.
Okay. So, as I go to Israel tomorrow, I remember my first trip to Israel. I remember I was a young fellow. I was 12 years old, putting on tefillin for the first time, and my parents rented a car, and my father could not find a parking spot in Yerushalayim. Up and down for the life of me, couldn't find it. Finally, he finds
today.
A spot. He pulls in, and a meter maid comes over and says, "Can't park here." He says, "Why not?" There's a sign. He says, "What happens if I park here?" So you get a ticket. said, how much? He said, 15 shekel. He said, okay, I'll take it. I'll take it. Deal. 15 shekel to park the car. You got it.
It was worth it. It was worth it.
Anything wrong with that? Shlomo? He violated the law.
And he's going to pay
Merrill?
It's minor.
I think he accepts
responsibility in that case.
Okay, and if I get caught running the red, I have no choice but to accept the responsibility. Well, right, Mike? Right?
I think outright you're trying to go by the law here with the hopes of not getting caught. Versus another case, you've accepted from the start.
That's why your ticket now is 500 shekels.
Okay.
Meaning if I would have parked there, and then they would have told me after the fact, 15 shekels. Okay, so it's the same thing.
Right, but this is worse. Right? He knowingly violated the law.
And he will pay for it.
And he will pay for it. He doesn't mind.
That's right, he made a decision.
Right, you want deal, fine, 15 shekels. Okay. That was his parking lot. 15, good, deal, at this point I'll pay. Right, so that's the idea being that one can make a very strong argument when it comes to secular law, no harm, no foul, right? That if there's no punishment, there is nothing wrong with it. As opposed to here, clearly that's not the case. Next point. Next point is a pasuk that we have discussed before. V'hiyisem nekiyem Hashem Yisrael, number 11, that a person when they act, they should act in a way that they will be clean both in the eyes of God and in the eyes of Israel. What does that mean? So the Mishnah Shkolim explained as follows. The Mishnah Shkolim tells us that when a person would go to count the pushka in the Beis HaMikdash, they would have to wear clothing that didn't have pockets. No pockets, not even any hems. Why not?
No cuffs.
So there wouldn't be any question.
There shouldn't be any question that they walked off with something. Now, the question is, why not? Wait a second. If the guy's a ganav, he's a ganav. He's not a ganav, he's not a ganav. If I walk in and I wear my pants have pockets, and then I walk in with empty pockets, I walk out with empty pockets. What's wrong with that?
Well, there's always could be somebody who, or a missing, or they count it wrong, so there can be a question.
Right, so what could go wrong is that there can be a nudnik. A guy can say, oh, yeah, sure, yeah, he became rich because he stole, blah, blah, blah. The guy totally made up a story. Do I care about this guy?
Yes.
The answer is yes. The answer is yes, that you have...
reputation.
Besides the potential hurt is that, in fact, we aim to be above any question. I mean that no one can doubt the veracity, the honesty, etc. V'yis and v'kiyim, it's not just a matter of what I'm doing is correct in the eyes of God and everybody else, so be it. But not only does it have to be correct in the eyes of God, it also has to be correct in the eyes of man. So therefore, a person has to be very careful. Similarly, the Gemara in Pesachim tells us that if a person goes to make change out of the pushka, right? But you have to do it with someone else there, and the Gabbai Tzedakah himself should never do it, because you never know when a guy's going to put in a dollar and take out five quarters. Not that that would ever happen here.
No, never.
So that's point number two. In terms of ethical obligations, a person has to be not only right, but it has to also look right. The fact that it is right is not enough. Next rule is as follows. The pasuk number 14 tells us, "Mazne tzedek, avne tzedek, efas tzedek, v'hin tzedek yelochem, ani Hashem elokeichem." That your weights and measures should be honest. Okay, they should be honest weights and measures.
This is one of the halachas for which you're promised.
Arichus yamim, correct. Long life, right? Now, again, when we talk about weights and measures, there's weights, right? Your weight should be there. There's volume as well, right? Your volume, there's a length, right? These are all different types. That's why we have all the different different types of measurements. However, two of them are in the same category. When it comes to volume, it says that you should have... So, for example, it says your pounds should be true, your foot should be true, your quarts should be true, and your gallons should be true.
quarts and gallons are the same idea.
But quarts and gallons are the same idea, right? Right? A foot is different than a pound, and a pound, but the quarts and gallons, they're all the same. Right? If you take a look at it, there's four, but there's only three types of measurements. So the Gemara tells us when it says hin tzedek, should not be read as hin tzedek, but as hein tzedek. A person's yes should be a yes, and a person's no should be a no. A person has to be true to their word. Now, technically, a person's word is worth the paper it's written on. Right? In general, if I make an agreement with you and we don't put it in writing, either party can deny it, and that's that. It's as simple as that. Unless there is a contract, there's very little that a court can do to help you in that case. So therefore, there's another obligation here that even though when it comes to a verbal agreement, it's very hard for the other party to enforce, our word has to be true. If I tell you something, even if I didn't put it in writing, if I say I'm going to buy this at this price, I say I'm going to sell this at this price, even though we haven't written up a contract yet, I'll be obligated to follow that. My yes is a true yes, and my no is a true no.
Okay. So wait, is it the word for court? That's also the word for...
Correct.
For what? For your word?
Right, hin, right. Right, hin, which is about a quart, is also a hain.
Which is?
Yes.
Mind your P's and Q's comes from that. It's a colonial expression.
Pints and quarts.
Colloquial.
Colonial was just not one of them.
Colonial.
Colloquial. Sorry. I didn't hear.
Yes. Yes. You know, looking at this house the other day, it's very nice colloquial. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Not so. Hain is really Aramaic.
Correct.
For Cain.
Hain. Okay. Hain is whatever. So that is the next obligation. Again, these are all. We're going to spend most of these classes discussing the letter of the law, but beforehand, these are issues which are beyond the letter of the law. These are what we might call the spirit.
Do you call it the what?
The spirit of the law.
Oh, the spirit.
The Gemara in Chulin has another one. And Mar says, also give no das abrios afil daito shel ovid kol chavim. This is a terrible mistake that I see all the time. The idea that you're not allowed to cheat is not limited to Jews. Right? This comes as a shock to some people.
Mm-hmm. You mean that it applies to everyone?
It applies to everybody.
All
right?
People aren't allowed to cheat or
you are not to cheat all people.
Right. Okay.
Right? Whether they are Jewish or not.
Right. Oh, right? We are not allowed to cheat other nations.
Correct.
Yeah, we can get a bad rap when that's misinterpreted.
Right, but again, this is holding the raps aside. The
want good raps.
Did you read number 16? Is that the one you're on now?
Yes.
What is Lignov Dot?
To again, Genevas Das is literally to steal away their thoughts. It means to trick. Genevas das means you can't be tricky. So, for example, the Shulchan Aruch goes through lists of cases like this. Now, let me ask you, so, the majority of meat that is produced is, or at least a significant minority that of the meat that goes through a kosher slaughterhouse doesn't turn out well.
Meaning
that it is not kosher.
Okay.
So, therefore, what do we do with that meat?
Sell it
to non-Jews, right? And they buy it. Right, the kosher meat production would actually shut down if it were not for the non-Jews buying that. Right, we sell them the entire hind quarter. Right, and then the only thing where there's an issue with the lungs, etc., very significant amount of the meat that goes through the kosher slaughterhouse ends up in non-kosher meat. Am I allowed to tell a non-Jew that the meat I'm selling you is actually kosher? Even though it doesn't make a difference to the person.
He could turn around and sell it for a higher price.
He's not going to, because he's not going to be under any... Nobody who cares about kosher is going to take his word for it.
Right.
No, but he can't. I'm going to market it as kosher.
But he can't, because without a hashgacha, no one's going to buy it.
Now, what's your question?
So he'll go to jail for that. You're not allowed to write, unless there is some rabbinic supervision, you can't write it's kosher. What? So the reason that he would care is, like I'm saying, I'm kind of indicating that I'm giving you top quality stuff. Even though it doesn't make a difference. So they said, and even though the person's not Jewish, you're not allowed to do that. You can't lie about it. You can't lie about it even if it doesn't make a difference. It goes to other lists as well. So it used to be in the olden days, when you opened a barrel of wine, you couldn't put it back in the fridge afterwards. Right? So once the barrel was open, you'd have to finish it. Right? So, what? What?
It's a finite lifespan.
Why weren't you allowed to put it?
No, you physically couldn't. It wouldn't work. Right? So therefore, when somebody would open up a barrel for a guest, that was something significant. Right? Because I'm saying that even though there's a good chance that the rest is going to go to waste, it's going to cost me a lot of money, I am doing this for you. Right? So therefore, you can't just say, oh, you're here, we're going to open a barrel of wine, but really I was going to open it anyhow because I had other things to do. These are cases of Gnevas Das. Even though I might not be in any way gaining from this, and you're not losing from this, still to be dishonest is wrong, and this is a violation.
This is the principle that doesn't allow us to gamble?
No.
Gnevas Das?
No.
What does that mean?
Asmachta. Maybe we'll get to that. This is not
it. Trickery.
Right.
Rabbi,
in fact, this comes up oftentimes. This is a question. So sometimes, let's say I go to a hospital to visit somebody, okay. Right? And while I'm there, they say, Mrs. So and So's on the 12th floor. So you know what? Once I'm here, I'll stop in. Then you walk in. She says, Rabbi, you came just for me.
Of course I did.
Right? I can't believe it. It's such a schlep, and you came out here. I'm so touched. So what am I supposed to say then?
It's good to see you. I'm glad I'm
nothing,
here.
Exactly.
What?
That's a lie. You're not responding to the question.
She's a lie.
What?
I'm responding to the question.
You came straight out for me? Question mark.
Well, it was. It's you say.
You say. Nice weather, huh?
You're not answering the question. You're
right. On the other hand, to say, well, actually, no, I wouldn't come for you, but Goldberg, I'm not here for. Him I came for.
Like you, so I'm not coming.
No, right.
What?
And how did you feel about that?
No, I thought it was honest.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
I probably have done that to you when I was going to visit Mrs. Weisberg.
I didn't know she was there, and you could say, well,
where I've used that line in you before.
That's when Mrs. Weisberg should stop.
I stopped by and said, King.
Oh, that's right. See, yeah, it was you, Shlomo.
See, I can't lie.
Yeah, so it's unbelievable.
That, if you just say, I'm glad to see you.
So that's a major discussion, what to do in a case where I didn't do anything to mislead you, but you misled yourself.
Right, or you misunderstood.
Right, there's a much larger discussion regarding that. I obviously can't mislead you, but the question, if you misled yourself, do I have an obligation to correct you?
Straighten you out, right.
Right, like, why in the world would I go visit you?
Right.
Come on, you crazy.
Yeah.
So that's next. The to what extent? So this comes up in the Beis Din from time to time. So I'll give you a case. I'm going to give a lot of cases probably throughout this. Cases as follows: a contractor is hired to do work on a house. Right, and what happened was that unfortunately, at some point during the process, the contractor came down with cancer.
Yeah.
What? The guy showed up actually with a chemo drip to finish the job because he really needed the money at this point. The people pointed out to three things that were wrong with the job, all of them exceedingly minor, right? That the thing that goes into the sink was the wrong size, and two other minor things that go on the punch list, And they said, we're not paying. We're not paying because
he... three minor things?
No, again, they're withholding payment until the job is totally done. Okay. And therefore, they're not paying anything at this point, as legally they have a right to do. The guy's in Basin says, listen...
he has a right to put a lien on them.
No, yeah, no. If he hasn't technically hasn't finished the job, right?
He can claim.
So, he should lie. Shlomo, I thought you were the Ish Emes here. Out of all people, Shlomo.
The red light.
No, he could claim.
Right. This is.
But it's they're not happy with.
No, again, it's definitely the what's it called, the thing that goes in the sink?
The strainer.
The strainer.
The stopper.
That's not stopper. Strainer. I like the strainer one better. We're gonna go with strainer today. That's what Mrs. Weisbrot said. So the question is, here in Beis Din, am I bound to follow the letter of the law?
No.
Or do I say, this guy's got dying from cancer, his family needs the money. What are you, Chazerim? How dare you?
Chazerim Kol Yisrael.
Right? So.
Why can't they pay him for everything but those three little things?
Because then he'll never come back and do it. You know that.
He's not.
They refuse
come back
to.
Anyway.
Okay, so be it.
Why
so get someone else for another three things.
Not good
right. So the question is.
Everyone wins.
The question is, can Beis Din. Again, what we discussed now are things that are religious obligations that God will hold you liable for. Does a Beis Din have a right to step in and say, we are going to, in this case, follow the spirit of the law and actually turn it into the letter of the law and make you pay?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Are you asking?
So we have a machlokes on Hudson
it's
here.
Bad thing. It's morally the right thing to do.
So that's God's purview. Beis Din has to say, this is the law, this is not the law.
I don't want to mess with the marriage. It was 50 good years, though. It was nice when it lasted.
Enough.
I want my money back for the kiddush.
Isn't there some margin of error for some of these things, like within 5% or something, it's still as if it's 100%?
So again, you're asking a legal question. You're saying that I shouldn't have to get to this because I could legally say, you know, like horseshoes and hand grenades, it's close enough.
Mm-hmm. I think they're holding the money back to those three things that they're not happy with,
but
it doesn't mean that...
Yeah, again, let's not focus on that specific case, because that case is not before us here, but focusing on the idea of does the Beis Din have a right to insist on morality, right? Halachic morality.
Yes.
I think they can't rule that way, but they can lean.
That they can
lean.
What does that even mean?
Beis Din has certain
extra legal powers.
It does. It kofenos ad shomerotzani.
I think yes.
But that's
they
the law.
They can assume the role of Guido and go break a few knees.
Mm-hmm.
But couldn't you like Jenny was saying? Jenny was saying.
How can you forget Jenny? Seriously.
It's been a long time. And Jenny was saying. Beis Din would find halacha that those people were violating by law by being so mean and nasty that they could go that direction.
So again, so what gives Beis Din a right to fine people for being mean and or nasty?
Aren't there halacha about how you treat your fellow person?
Correct. So you're saying that we should take money away from people because they're violating the Torah? Is that? Let me just understand. That's what you're saying?
Wait. No. In the course of their refusal to pay for the job, mm-hmm. because this poor guy, you know, missed a centimeter of something, and he's dying, and he came with this drip. I mean. There's something very terrible with that picture.
Right. I don't think I want my daughters marrying into their family. I will agree with that. Interestingly,
you
end up...
Judge kindly if you're stuck on the letter of the law. There's got to be some room for flexibility if it says judge kindly.
Where does it say judge kindly?
Like, judge an orphan kindly. Some saying that orphan, leave low my eye, I forgot the beginning of the song.
But we talk about kindness to our fellow man.
I support kindness, don't get me wrong. And I think after you make a decision in favor of the homeowner, I think that the dayan actually has the right to give whatever money they want to the other person out of their own pocket. But again, to say that I'm going to be very generous and take your money and give it to that person, again, the Robin Hood approach to it, that's questionable.
What do you mean?
Again, I should be very kind. That's very nice. I should give the poor contractor money out of my pocket. Right. That doesn't give me right to give him money out of the homeowner's pocket.
They've done the job, except for he's done the job except for these three minor things.
Isn't there some way
to mitigate the three minor things and still get?
I don't care about the three minor things. I don't care about the person. I care about the question is the principle of the matter is do I have a die-in? Have a right to walk in and say, you know what, you are a jerk, and give the guy a hard kick in the pants.
Yes.
There's a way to say it.
You're
say it like that.
Sorry, Mom. But how would you say it?
Well, you know, honey is better than, what's the expression?
Bees?
More like the honey than you do with
sugar
is what you're after here. And I don't know if that's colonial or
not. That's not going to help. It's not colloquial or colonial.
I think it's colloquial.
The error of their
it's colorectal, I think.
is this message imparted trying to...
It is. That's what we're dealing with, ethics. But that's not enforceable by law.
No, but
it's
Alex,
not
the question is, when you're giving this guy this guide, is it something that you're trying to teach this person how to behave in general or in this specific case?
It's not the court's
I'm not his mother.
To teach the guy
how
to behave.
I'd
be a mensch.
I'd like to get there also.
Yeah.
So therefore, since they are legally even though they're hard-nosed and they're cruel, that they should still vote.
Kodesh Baruch Hu will take care of it.
I don't want to wait till Hakodesh.
Well, you got no choice, honey. You're going to have to wait.
Yes, there is. They could you pay him or else.
Well, it's right. A case where you're going to have to wait, but hopefully you have to wait a long time.
Yeah, well, that's...
I'm not rushing into this one.
I don't think so, because I think this is an opportunity.
Is this an actual case?
So how do you know?
If I get a word in edgewise, you might find out.
So
I've been trying to get this off my chest for the last 10 minutes.
So what is... How did they rule?
Who? Sorry.
The base stands. I thought they were supposed to. You've got to have a little give and take or get more. What?
Some compassion for this
My
guy.
Sense would be is that they'd be required to
uphold the contract or whatever.
That would be their obligation. I also think before they got that far, that they would do everything in their power, whether by threats, veiled, or.
Or otherwise.
You know, like, we'll see you again someday, or I think they can lean on pretty heavy.
Right.
Get it worked out before it ever gets to a ruling.
So you're suggesting that the basin technically cannot rule that way. However, it can use its powers of persuasion to perhaps make things turn out otherwise, perhaps settle it earlier. But you agree that the basin cannot do anything about it. Are you agreeing with that?
The basin is doing something about it. It may not be what the legal part is, but they are going to do something.
Right. I have a theory, by the way, before we answer this. I have a theory. How many people think that the basin has the right to give the money because the guy's being wrong?
Should
the Beis Din rule for the homeowner or for the contractor? It's so rare that a contractor is a sympathetic fellow. It was never. I read that.
So
how many people think that the contractor should win?
Should, but
right.
Can't be enforced by the Beis
Din. No, be clear. How many think? How many think the Beis Din cannot enforce it, and therefore the homeowner wins? Jenny, you put your hand up twice.
Twice.
Did the homeowner win or the contractor win?
Who wins?
Who wins? I can vote twice because I didn't vote at all.
The homeowner
what?
You
think the homeowner wins?
I agree with her.
Right, and how many people think the contractor? Again, you're sitting on the thing.
I'm saying the contractor.
The contractor should win.
I know it's good for me.
My mother told me.
Should.
That's
good.
Would.
Not what's morally.
have a theory about this, but we'll get to it afterwards. This actually happened in a Gemara.
In the Gemara.
Not exactly. Number 21. Let's just skip to the other. Who gav the have a kamaver chivita and the chamer b'irsim the mechuzah. There once were some fellows whose job it was to move wine barrels. Right? What happened? Ruin it for everyone, will you?
Sorry.
All right.
Let's let him finish and not interrupt.
Thank you, Marsha. <Yeah.
laughs> <Yeah. laughs>
If we could all just behave ourselves like Marsha, we would be here a long time ago. So
there's no cookies here or anything. Move on.
Lost our cookies a long time ago. So what happened was they broke it. Also came a derav amalei risikto mechuza shrichi beinchi. What happened was, we'll do it outside. What happens is these two workers are going and they are moving barrels and they accidentally break one. So the owner goes and takes the workers to court to pay for the broken barrels. Right? The people who were workers said, we can't afford this. How can they possibly afford it? The court goes and decides in favor of
the workers.
The workers. And the owner says, is that really the law? He said, the law is that you should go lifnei mishuras hadin. The law is, if they're poor and you're rich, you should go above the letter of the law. Not only that, but the workers turn around and they say,
We want to get paid for the day.
We worked. And they win again.
Right,
they owed money for this. They were more than that. And again, it was in their favor. There is a major discussion here between the Mordechai and the Bach, discussing whether or not they did this using their power of the law, or they did this with their extra legal power. Right? The Mordechai says that, in fact, this is the rule, that Beis Din has a right to force the parties to go beyond the letter of the law. In the event that this is a case where, even though technically the rich man is right? But in the event this was no fault of the poor man, and the poor man could ill afford to lose the money.
What if they were their fault? What if they were poshea?
That might be different. That might be different. That would be different. You know, we're not going to. We don't want the poor people to go into work thinking, "Well, I'm poor, so I can do whatever I want, and I'm still going to get paid."
Alex, you have to then define poshea.
Meaning, it's not that hard to define.
In the end of the day,
They were sampling a little bit of the wine. They got care of it.
They were playing catch the barrel.
Maybe
had that a classic.
Feeling it, it's a different issue. This was an accident.
Right.
Okay, same thing.
Right.
It wasn't like a lightning strike.
So the Mordechai is of the opinion that Beis Din has a right to do that. Beis Din has a right to force. The Bach says no. Beis Din does not have a right to force. The Beis Din can try to convince.
Yeah.
Right? That they can turn around. But the question was, in this case in the Gemara, what if the plaintiff would have said, well, I'm not paying? What would have happened then? Right? So again, according to the Bach, nothing would have happened. They'd say, well, you're a nasty guy, and he'll take...
We don't like you.
Right. Right. So that's...
You get a bad reputation.
Whatever it is, but you know, that doesn't...
The
as opposed to the Mordechai thinks that the Beis Din could enforce. The Beis Din, in fact, could say, no, we are the Beis Din, this is what's right, we have a right to do. We can do it.
That doesn't mean they
can be gone of him.
If you go to the Beis Din and the Beis Din said you should pay these workers for their work that day, and you don't do it, but the point is, if you go to the Beis Din, you're going to follow what they say.
Or you wouldn't have to even go to the Beis Din.
Well, you did have to in those days.
Oh, in those, because they went...
Right, absolutely.
You were out.
Right.
What does that mean?
So in the case of this...
Excommunication.
They're building the house, and the guy comes with the drip. Do they... have to pay him?
So again, so this is a machlokes as to whether or not we had the right to say it doesn't matter who's right or wrong. This guy made a good faith effort. He's in bad shape. You're going to have to take care of him.
Is that what they said?
No. House didn't rule that way.
How did they rule?
What?
In favor of the house owner.
Right. They ruled in favor of the house owner, and the guy was on his last leg.
That's the law.
But so they did rule that way. But did they try and convince the?
Yeah, they said you should be merciful with what the guy's going through.
But in his help, did he pay or no? Did they end up paying?
How come Etty's still awake? Doesn't she realize it's midnight? So therefore, in fact, the psak was until the job was finished, either by him or someone he sent, they did not have to pay. Mm-hmm. I, in fact, think very lowly of these people, and I've met them years later at a wedding.
Okay.
And
the homeowner.
And I was seeing the whole time with this, and. And my wife, who had no idea who they were, obviously, said, "Hey, how are you?" She introduced ourselves. We're there. And they said to me, "Your name's so familiar."
common name.
Right?
It's important to know here, at least from my talking to my local.
Yeah. Yeah.
is that it's just important to know that it doesn't go from one day. This happens, and the next day it's embased in, and the third day it's resolved. It's over a period of time.
A quicker period of time than courts.
Right, but still some period of...
Right.
And there's at least in my local based in, that there's like a mediation period. I mean, they do everything in their power to not get it to the based in. That's the point.
Well, yeah, no, so we...
They try to use all their...
I'll be honest, I'm a big fan of settlements, and I happen to be... known as pretty good at getting settlements. Mm-hmm. I generally find, though, that settlements work better mid-case, meaning that it's really, really important for each party to hear the other party's side without interrupting. Everyone walks into Basin thinking that they're 100% right and the other person's a total disaster. When you sit back and you have to present with the other person in front of your face, so you're only telling the truth, more or less, and also, the other person has to listen to you, there's a realization that, oh, maybe I'm not 100% correct. Maybe, in fact, I think the other guy's wrong.
That's under the assumption you're coming in willing to listen. If you're,
you have no choice. You're in Basin. You have to sit there and be quiet.
You could listen, but my point is, you could already have your mind made up.
Of course you have your mind made up. That's why you're there.
Wrong, and I don't really care.
But again, at that point, right, it gives you pause. At that point, you can settle it. At that point, you can say, okay, you understand their point of view. You understand their point of view. Now, you know, and here at the Bays, then, you know, we're willing to make a decision, which means that one of you are going to go home very unhappy. Right? Instead of risking walking out of here with something that you can't live with, how about you come up with something that you both can live with? That's basically the pitch.
But they couldn't do it with
that. What?
Now, they weren't able to settle with the
bad. Don't forget about
it. Did he ever get those three minor things?
I haven't been to their house. I assume that it would all worked out in the end. The last two points that I wanted to make, and it's getting a little later, is that just because we have a very high level of obligation in terms of morals doesn't mean that we're supposed to be schnooks. Meaning as follows, that I give to you the Yalkut Me'am Loes and then a Rashi for two stories from the Chumash. We'll start with the second one first. A well-known business transaction in the Chumash, it's the sale of the birthright from Yaakov to Esav. Esav is the Bechor. Yaakov's looking to buy it. It's a very interesting case. It's a bilateral monopoly. Mean that there's only one seller, but there's only one buyer as well. And Esav says to Yaakov, "What is this Bechorah?" And Yaakov says, "Here's the story. You're going to be a Kohen. You'll do Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. And if you mess up in the Beis HaMikdash, you'll die. Interested in having it?"
So he sold it to Mr.
You better have some red beans.
Right, so he said, "What are you offering for it?" He said, "Bowl of beans." "I'll take it." Ha! Bargain. Yaakov was known as an Ish Emes. He's known as the most honest of people. How is he allowed to do this?
And with the sheep, well, too, by Laban?
What?
All stories.
Change all the
right? Oh, how about this one? If you look at Mayam Roways, Avram Avinu is looking to buy the Maris HaMachpelah. Yeah. Why is he so interested in buying the Maris HaMachpelah?
That was the land, right?
It was the cave.
The cave.
The bat cave. So why did he want that cave more than any place else? Anybody know?
Adam and Chava
were buried there, correct. Does he ever mention that when he's looking to buy? Does he ever share that information?
He does not.
No, but it's hard to imagine that that would have upped the
he
value.
He still paid a premium price.
What? I mean,
paid so much.
He paid a lot.
But it's still. I would imagine that Ekron was... if he knew that this was a, shall we say, a historically important site,
right. Yeah,
he probably would have held out for even more of an overprice.
Probably.
So, is there anything wrong that Avram did not disclose this information at the time of negotiations?
Mm-hmm. Well, he's the buyer.
No, does he have to? Well, again, knows?
The buyer is supposed to be the one who's beware.
What? Caveat emptor.
Mm-hmm.
You don't speak Latin? No?
Yeah.
Caveat emptor. Caveat emptor. Buyer beware.
Right. Yeah.
So
the seller just didn't.
The seller's already
history.
Aware.
What? What?
He didn't know his history.
Right. So the question is there any. And similarly, you have in the case of Yaakov, right? Did Yaakov have to say, oh, but besides the fact you can get killed, there's also Pishnayim, right, etc., you get a double portion. Obviously, the willingness to trade it in for beans might not have been as much. And, of course, we don't see this as problematic. Right? There's nothing wrong with being a savvy businessman. There's nothing wrong with having information. That doesn't mean any information I have to share with you. Right? So you have to be very careful. Going forward is, on the one hand, yes.
What about what he did with the sheep to Laban, though?
What was wrong with that?
It was not sharing information. He rearranged things so there'd be more speckled and striped sheep.
Was there anything wrong with that?
Once he made a deal, I'm only taking the speckled and striped ones, and then to create a lot of speckled and striped ones.
Well, obviously, of course he's going to do that. Well, why would he be working otherwise? Right, so again, just pointing out that the Torah is very clear that there's nothing wrong with being a shrewd businessman. There's nothing wrong with having information. There's nothing wrong with playing your cards close to your chest.
Legally.
Right? However, right, you've got to be within a moral, ethical framework. And within that, there's plenty of room still to be very successful.
But it doesn't mean that you're going above the letter of the law.
But proof that. What if the land that Avram was buying, there was a horrendous murder there, God forbid. And the seller knows it.
What?
The seller knows it, but
yeah, let's say someone died in the house you were buying. Who would buy that?
A lot of people.
only a crazy man would buy a house.
Someone was murdered there. I'm saying there might be a
killed themselves.
These things happen.
Yep.
So I'm saying, does that? Should that be disclosed?
I don't think so. I don't think that's relevant. Again, if you have a leaky roof, that
you
has
have
to be this.
Roof, you have to disclose.
Right. The fact okay. that it might be haunted.
So if you're trying to buy a house in the A roof and the seller doesn't realize that there's a
value
in having an A, you don't need to tell them.
Nope, not at all. That's what I think. All right, we will continue this discussion next week.
Very good, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Have a good trip. Have a good time at the wedding, and we'll look forward
to travel safely. Which day do you come back to?
Shlomo.
Are you coming back to D.C. also?
I'm only coming back to D.C. I'm not going to D.C. I'm going to Newark.
Newark is such a great one.